This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I don't need that dude at anything other than a number that I want in a role that I want him in. And if you're trying to tell me that he is not going to accept that because he is who he is, no. Peace. Out. No interest whatsoever. Like, I will find somebody who will buy in to team rather than individual.
The fact is he needs to be the third or fourth scoring option.
Absolutely.
In this offense.
And I know people will point to the playoffs in Utah. I know, but that would, the circumstances were so different. The team is so different. And I am not going to sit here and base a 9 to 10 year decision on one meaningless playoff series. I'm just not going to do that. Is it a 5-game series? Not going to do that. I want the bigger sample size, and the bigger sample size are these playoffs, were these playoffs, and he was just not good. And if you're telling me that he's not willing to take on a lesser role and a lesser number, then I have a, to me, pretty obvious decision to make. And we'll see when ultimately they get there, right? I cannot imagine that he is on this roster past the trade deadline. I would be shocked. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, then you're talking about him just walking.
Right.
Possibly.
I mean, Dylan is...
Again, he's an NBA starter. Will pay money for Dylan Brooks. Good money for Dylan Brooks.
Yes.
More than what he's making right now. Yes.
100%.
So I don't let that get to a Tyus Kyle situation where they can walk. No.
Right. No, I mean, we question, like, situations with Tyus. Like, would you consider coming back to me? But there are going to be a lot of NBA teams who need that perimeter defense. He could, like I said, he could be the piece for somebody. You could talk people into Dylan Brooks, right? I just feel like where the Grizzlies are going, is he that piece for them? You know? Is he that piece for them? And I think, you know, I got my doubts on that. Anyway, Dallas has nothing for Golden State. That is what we are learning. And the only team that really seemed to, so far, has been the Memphis Grizzlies. And, the finals will be interesting. It depends on which team. Because
So in your mind, Golden State shouldn't be the favorite to win it all as they are right now. I think they're -160.
Yeah, I don't think so. I like both teams, but again, they're healthiest.
Correct.
That's what they have going for them. They are the healthiest. Now, Otto
Porter
left the game last night, but yeah, I mean, you got Wiggins locked in like this. You know, Steph's always going to give you a chance to win every game. I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, they were down 55, and they didn't come back and win that game. But they were also down 19, and they came back and won that game and covered the number. That's championship stuff. That is true. So I'm conflicted on them. I do know that they are the healthiest, and they have Steph Curry. And a lot of times, that is going to be enough to contend for a championship in the NBA. So it's going to depend on health, and we'll see what comes out of that Eastern Conference Finals. All right, we will come back. Interesting developments as it relates to the Lakers head coaching search.
Mm-hmm.
New developments. We talked about this last week. There were three names. Could there be a fourth that we all know and love? That and more when we come back. Jason and John.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
NFM, ESPN.
Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, we got some juicy news in the NBA. This according to Mark Stein. I don't know your assessment of whether it's news or not. I'll leave it up to you. But according to Mark Stein, this has been tweeted by the Bleacher Report, the Lakers have not abandoned hope that Doc Rivers will become available to hire this summer.
Interesting.
That per Mark Stein. So who leaked this? Who's doing what? Is this coming from the side of
LeBron?
The Lakers haven't abandoned
the Sixers.
Hope.
Like they pre-leaked it. The Sixers did.
I mean, yeah, because that's Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons says an increasingly amusing poker game between Daryl Morey and the Lakers, who fired their coach 6 weeks ago, and as we know, do not have a coach yet. That list of assistant coaches that were up for the job we went through last week.
Pam, Atkinson, and Stotts.
Right. I mean, not anywhere close to the name of Doc Rivers, though. I would argue there's probably not a great deal of difference between Terry Stotts and Doc Rivers. I mean, I know Doc has a title, you know, in 08, and he did win Coach of the Year in 2000. But, you know.
Yeah, we know what you think.
You say
he's the worst coach in the league. You say he sucks.
No, y'all try to hold Doc Rivers up like man invented the
sport.
Well,
he's got a championship, doesn't he?
And in 08. With KG, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen.
Can't be the worst.
In his prime, in their primes.
Looks like somebody with the Lakers wants him.
Yeah, well, that's the mentality. Like, oh, Doc Rivers is, you know, always coaching. He must be good. That's what people think.
Daryl Morey's already said he's not. He wants him. He said it. He's coming back because he wants a trade piece. Wants to use him as a trade
piece.
But
no, that's what that is. He just wants to get, you know.
Something off the Lakers. The problem is the Lakers just have no assets whatsoever, especially not to give up for Doc Rivers.
I wouldn't trade a grilled cheese
for a coach.
For Doc Rivers.
A coach doesn't fix their issues, which are personnel issues.
Right.
Which are team issues.
Yeah, man.
They don't have enough.
I agreed. I mean, I get the appeal. I get the appeal of the Lakers wanting Doc Rivers. And I could see why LeBron would want Doc Rivers because he was in those battles, right? He was in those battles in 08 against the Celtics. He remembers, like, how those guys viewed Doc Rivers. He knows him. And LeBron likes what he knows. That is what, you know, that's what he's about. So I get that piece of it, but, like, I'm with you. It's not going to change whatever the Lakers are going to be. They need to trade for a productive basketball player. You know, they got to go out and they got to find somebody.
They need a lot of glue pieces is what they need. Guys that'll play defense and be role guys.
Right.
That's what they need, frankly. And they don't have the assets to go out and get those guys.
They need a scorer that they need good players. They you know, Malik Monk's not going to get it done. Russell Westbrook at this age is not going to get it done. Carmelo Anthony's not going to get it done. Like, you got to go out and you got to get guys who can put the ball in the basket and are like real NBA players. And they can't do that because of salary cap restrictions, and they can't do anything with Russell Westbrook. But Doc Rivers is not going to fix it. It's going to, like, the idea that Frank Vogel is getting blamed for the fact that the Lakers didn't, you know, become what they were quote unquote supposed to be is crazy.
But that's how we knew that was coming. They had to make somebody the scapegoat.
Yeah, and the same will be true of Doc. Like, Doc will get there and they'll be about what they are, because unless they make any kind of they're going to have to make structural roster changes. And can they do that? It seems to me like they can't. You know, they're going to run this back. They might add something here or there. They'll do something, but in the end, it's LeBron and Anthony Davis, right? And Anthony Davis cannot be trusted to be on the court. And there's just, like, the days of this used to be the NBA. The NBA used to be, you go out, you get two or three superstars, and the rest of the roster doesn't really matter, right? Like, that's how the Miami Heat won championships. I mean, they went six deep, basically. But those days are over. Look at the teams in the NBA now. Look at all four teams still playing. What's the common denominator? Pretty deep, right? Dallas is not, and that's why Dallas is about to get swept. But Golden State's pretty deep. You know, they go out and they get Wiggins. They have Jordan Poole coming off the bench. Otto Porter's been a productive player. Kevon Looney's been a difference maker. Boston goes, you know, 8-9 deep at times.
Yeah, and got to play multiple ways, too. You can either play with a big or quick.
Yeah, I mean, there's different ways. Small ball lineups. Boston has a small ball lineup there with Grant Williams, you know, they can go to. And we know Miami. Miami's going to bring Tyler Hero off the bench. You know, they've got P.J. Tucker there. You know, they've got, you know, Strus they found from nowhere. You know, they have lots of different – Duncan Robinson signed an $80 million contract, and he's not even playing. You know, so depth is the way you win the Grizzlies. How did the Grizzlies get to the 2 seed? Depth. They were able to sustain and weather the storm of Ja Morant missing 25 plus games because they had a great bench. So the Lakers don't. They don't have draft picks. They don't have bench pieces. I mean, Austin Reeves, you know, you want to talk me into him, I guess. Malik Monk, if you're key, I don't know. They can't keep Malik, right? He's gone.
Yep.
He's gone. He's going to get paid.
Priced out, really, for what
Malik,
they can do.
I mean, Malik would be a great bench piece.
He plays no defense.
But, right, he's going to give up exactly what he gives you, you know? So that's the issue. They don't have a bench.
They just did that.
They don't. They just – there's not a path for the Lakers in my mind. It's over. I mean, this is going to be a very clumsy end for LeBron James' career. I don't think he's going back to an NBA Finals, right? I think 2020 is going to be the last championship for him. Unless he leaves L.A., which...
Yeah, he's going to leave L.A. after next year.
And come to the Grizzlies?
Well, no.
That's your
no
plan.
No chance.
Well...
My thing was trade for him while he still had one more year on the deal.
In a perfect world, LeBron James would come to the Grizzlies...
Where's he going
to
go? My guess is it's Cleveland.
And they would play in the Mid-South Coliseum. And that would be your dream.
Because remember, he wants to go somewhere where he can control it enough that he can bring in Bronny. Remember that?
Right.
Okay. And he's going to want to try to win to add to the legacy. Look at Cleveland again. Look at that young nucleus again. Look at him seeing as I remember when I went back and they had Kyrie. Looking at Darius and those big pieces that they've those big young pieces they've got. It just makes a lot of sense. Now, is Dan Gilbert willing to get back in bed with him?
I think so.
You probably will, because if you're Dan, you're probably saying it's money coming back in here. It puts me back over the top in terms of as a contender in the East. I'm right back there again.
You got LeBron,
right?
Garland.
And
I mean,
yeah,
you
if you want
to
bring
some of that.
You want to bring Bronny here in a couple years? Yeah, we'll do it.
You'd have to give up Darius Garland to get LeBron, though.
No. But he'd be part of the deal. No, how about this? You give up Sexton. Isn't he still on the contract?
What the hell would I take Sexton back for?
You give up
Lakers?
Anything except Darius.
You have to have Darius.
That's Kyrie.
Would you give up Jared Allen?
Probably, because, again, you have Mobley.
Right? He's more of a four than a five, but...
No. Let's not give up anything. It's what's coming right after LeBron spends this final year of his contract in L.A. So you're not making a trade for him. You're getting him to pick you then once he's open again.
Does LeBron have a no-trade clause? Do we know?
I'm sure
Because
he
don't
does.
You think the Lakers would just trade him before he hits the open
well,
market?
Well, again, people... I told you, Lionel Hollins told me, stop talking. And that was when Stephen A. said to I want to ask about Stephen A.
Okay. Say less.
Don't even talk about it. Okay? So because they're trying to run it back right now.
He does not have a no trade clause.
They're trying to run it back with him right now.
So they would trade him before he ever hit the open market. You can't.
Oh, they're going to trade LeBron at the deadline, bro? The Lakers, the team that control. LeBron would have to trade himself, man. Okay? They're running it back with him.
Well, the problem is, here's the problem. You can't. LeBron wields such power with clutch, right, that if the Lakers pulled that, clutch would see to it that the Lakers never got a clutch sports client ever again, right? That's the thing there, is that if they did pull that and sent LeBron to a team he didn't want to go to, right, clutch would say, if you do that, we are going to press the nuclear button, as Ryan Silverfield would say.
All the words out of L.A. are that him and Jeannie are in lockstep right now in the sense that LeBron's going to spend this final year the deal out in L.A. and then check his options after that. So you're talking about a deal where they're not going to trade him during the season. They're hoping with AD and with Westbrook they can get the damn thing worked out because, frankly, they can't trade Westbrook or AD at this point. So they've got to run it back. He's all in for this year, and then he will have his pick. As a free agent, not I would tell you because it probably is like hoping for a long shot with him to just pick the Grizzlies at that point. I would say that Cleveland looks like a worthy destination. Besides, you'd do it because, again, LeBron, you'd figure at 38 years old, yeah, maybe he's not MVP level, but that's the guy that can put you over the top here. But I wouldn't be mad at not being in bed with him either, because that's the thing, you know, you get in with LeBron, you're pretty much doing what he tells you. This is Ja's team.
Yeah.
So there doesn't need to be any sort of whose team is it around here for the next few years.
It's going to be a 40-year-old LeBron James. I mean, I think at some level he's got to understand, too. You're not going to just get the, you know, call every shot anymore, man. You're 40. Now, his production is still quite amazing.
Dude, he's coming off MVP level.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm willing to do it for Bronny. Like, I'd use a 29th overall draft pick on Bronny. What the hell do I care for? If it gets LeBron James?
Well, you get him in second round. You ain't going to need
whatever.
To spend
the
first
round. Whatever. I mean, if LeBron said, make my kid a first round pick, and I'll come. Done. You will be selected with the 29th. He could be selected with 22. I don't care. Because if you have LeBron James, even at 39 years old, he's going to help you win a championship.
What year is Bronny coming out?
2024, I think. I think he'd spend 1 year in, you know, and then come out.
Man, Michael should have done this for that kid that went to Central Florida.
I don't think he was on the same, as Jason says, the same timeline. We can't have PJ in Memphis because we're not on that timeline.
Yeah, Mike didn't give a damn about playing with Marcus.
Right. He's like,
Mike care about his own legacy.
Let's be real.
Let's
be real. Michael didn't think that he was good enough to play with him.
No business being on the floor with me.
The truth is Bronny's not good enough to play in the NBA.
No, but LeBron clearly feels a different way about his kids than Michael did.
We all do.
Have y'all seen the one with glasses?
Yeah.
He's coming now. He's getting longer.
Bryce?
I don't know his name. Yeah. That makes sense. Bryce. Dude. Yeah. He's dunking now.
Okay.
He might end up with the size, more size than Bronny.
Yeah.
He's hit a little growth spurt, John.
What about Dwayne Wade's kid? What's he up to? Zaire, bro. Zaire Wade.
I haven't watched him lately. He's tough, though. They say he's tough. He's real skinny.
Is he in college?
Or close to it, if he's not.
You got to think we'd hear more about these cats.
He's in the G League.
Yeah.
Really?
Duke can play a little bit.
All right.
He's with the
this makes sense.
Utah's.
Exactly.
Of course.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
More
sounds
nepotism.
Like, yeah. Sounds like not good enough if he's in.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, if he had to go to daddy's club.
Well, you know what the old saying is, if you want to be rich, right?
What's that?
Have rich parents that eventually die, you know, and give you all their things. And this way, it's like my dad is like a Hall of Famer in the case of Bronny, in the case of Zaire. So and also Dwayne happens to own the Utah Jazz.
The challenge with a lot of these kids, it's like Brad Calipari with a tattoo about being like earning it. Like you convince yourself that you've earned stuff, but the truth is, sorry, you haven't. You know?
Yep.
You lie to yourself.
Y'all see Bronny's car for prom?
Oh yeah.
My lord.
What?
I wish.
What was he driving?
It was some form of Mercedes. It was a race car Mercedes, essentially.
Because how
of
the hell?
The Benzo sign. What do you mean, how the
hell?
No. Because he got all the money in the world.
But listen to me. How do you keep a level head when that's the deal? Like, how do you...
You almost certainly don't.
You just don't.
Yeah. I mean, I
don't, it's very... That would be impossible to keep a level
I've never,
head.
I've never had a conversation
you go,
with
kid.
Him. But I, yeah, no. I mean, I think on some level, money changes people, man. It just does. I mean, there are going to be people who, like The Rock might be the only person who I think is, like, as rich as he is and a genuine person. Because he came from absolutely nothing.
No, he just got you fooled.
I don't think so, bro. I think he's a genuine guy. Like, you would hear more about The Rock as a D.
The problem for Bronny, though, is, like, let's say you fall short of the league. That sucks. Because your whole life, all you heard was daddy saying, league, and then it's like...
I would trade lives with him right now. Even as a washout in the NBA, he never makes it.
With Bronny?
Yes.
He doesn't have to do anything. He can fail everything.
Bro, you're set up for life.
Yeah, he's set.
Like, I would trade lives with... Honestly, anybody that has, like, a rich parent that, like, would do, you know, I would trade lives right now.
And I would just go declare a pro right now.
You might as well. I mean, seriously. Like, I'm going to be a pro.
Why not? Like, yeah. what are we in front of
here?
Well,
the rules, I mean.
They can change the rules for LeBron.
He can go to New Zealand until he's old enough, then go to G League, whatever the age is there now, 18, 17, whatever it is. Do all of that. I mean, a team's going to keep him just because he's LeBron James' son.
Yeah. No, they
and
will.
You can be on your path now. What's the whole point?
Did you ever wake up?
Then if he fails, who cares? He still got a check from dad.
Did you ever wake up, like, wishing, man, I wish, you know, my dad made it to, like, New York or, you know,
some bigger.
No, at some point as a son, it's always right. You got to make your own way, and that's what was told to me. That's what I would tell my son. Now, if you want to do it in my same industry, okay, but I'm not gonna put you on the team with me. You got to earn it. You have to earn your way in.
Your dad never.
Otherwise, what are you teaching your son?
Your dad would say your dad never helped you get a gig?
No.
He never like put a word in for you or anything?
No. What? There was no gig for him to help me do. By the time he'd come back, he's in news over there.
Yeah.
It didn't help me whatsoever. He wasn't in sports.
That's interesting. But do you think by being around that? Like every day, that's why you sort of wanted to do what you did. I know it wasn't directly the same thing, but
no, I mean, like I told you, Jerome Wright, who was at the CA, is the one that convinced me. I went into the journalism department at Memphis thinking I was going to do television.
Yeah,
and was completely changed by this professor over there, Jerome Wright, adjunct professor. Worked a long time as editor at the CA.
Yeah,
and said go do this. And again, if it had been 4 or 5 years later, I'd said heck no, because look at it, you know, everything's going to dry up in newspapers. My gosh, but. At the time, early 2000s, everything still looked flush over there.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so it convinced me that it wasn't. Yeah, it was completely different at that point. The plan was to try to go be dad, try to go do the TV thing.
Right.
Maybe it's in your blood, even though Lord knows every time that camera came on, I got nervous as heck. There was something about it that wasn't me. So that's right. When I got into the writing class, I was like, you know what, I like this.
Well, it's just interesting, like, because, you know, I think it's just human nature, right? Like, a lot of people do what their parents did, right? Like, they might come up if they see their parents do this, they might be that. Like, you see a lot of times if a dad owns a company, right, son's going to run that company one day, too, right?
Yeah, like, mine was complete. Mom had me at TSU majoring in business because she said, that's how you're going to make money. So it was never the plan growing up to go follow dad. When I got to college, it was literally, don't go follow dad, go major in business.
TSU, so you did not
majoring in business administration. We weren't going journalism at all.
Interesting.
That was the plan, was not to be like dad. Go make some money is what my mom told me, and you'll do it majoring in business. So that was the initial plan. Mess all that up at TSU, whatever, flunk out, lose the scholarship, come back down, and then it's when I get back in, 1999, five years later, roughly, it's, you know what, let me go try this journalism thing as opposed to, because that's what college is finding out what you want to do.
Absolutely.
I didn't know till I went back. I'll go give this a try.
Not to be strange, but there may be listeners that don't know that your dad was on TV here for years.
Yeah.
Long-time TV
so long.
Guy on Fox on Channel 13 at the end there, right?
Yep, John's not real good at the context, is he, Brad?
No, I was thinking of new listeners not know that, because we don't talk about it a lot on the show.
Les used to join us. He was one of the all-time great handicappers for college football.
Lives in Belize now.
But his demands just got to be so much. You know,
the writer. Yeah.
We had to move on, you know, but it was a good. Was it two seasons he gave us?
Yeah.
He gave us two good seasons of college. I will say, though, like, he was good.
Yeah, calls from Belize aren't cheap.
Not cheap.
No.
That's the thing about that segment.
And look, we have a budget.
Dad was paying the fee to be on the show. Right. So.
Yeah, he was paying for us.
But
yeah.
Easy to retire.
He was getting something out of it, though. He was getting some purpose. He was getting an audience, mm-hmm. right? A huge audience. I know his Facebook friend group is a lot, but, I mean, you think about that, times that by about 15,
right.
You know, on 92.9. But he made a career choice, you know, and we respect that career choice. But yeah, I think it's just interesting, like to be, you know, my parents both worked in, you know, I don't even know what the hell my dad did, and my mom was working as a, you know,
medical, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the occupation. Like, it was just like I had no guidance in terms of like, here's what I should strive to be. You know what I mean? Like, it was like I really had to on my own determine like what I wanted the course of my life to look like, you know, because I just didn't have any.
Well, that's what college is supposed to be for. It's not supposed to be your parents putting you in one. It's supposed to be you deciding for yourself.
Yeah.
And if you decide you want to go that way, then.
Yeah. I'm just saying, though, like, I have a lot of friends whose you know, parents did a certain thing, right? And so they knew about it and they're like, oh, I'm going to do that too. You know, I do, like, it's like basketball, right? Like basketball. That's why you see so many basketball playing sons doing the same thing. You know, not they're not always as good as their dad, but. You see so many, you know, sons and daughters of former NBA players playing basketball.
A lot of cases, Jeffrey Wright's included, you have a son who wants to go a different way, whose father's in one business and has been, and you can go that route, and I think at one point even did, but decides, you know what, this isn't for me.
Yep.
I want to do it on my own, do something completely different.
Yeah.
That's his story, essentially.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, that happens too. You're not, just because it's there doesn't necessarily mean it's any easier or that you should stick to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no doubt. And I, you know, it's one of those things. It's interesting, like, because someday, like, Riley is going to ask me, like, what do you do? You know, like, what do you do for work? You know, and is she going to want to do that too? Is she going to want to blaze the trail and be a female sports radio? Would I even encourage that? Would I say to do that? Would I, you know, it's just interesting what, you know, those conversations that you have, you know, with your children in terms of that future someday. So,
JB, following in Bernie's
right.
footsteps.
Right, exactly.
But it ain't always like that.
No, it's not always like that. Anyway, Doc Rivers, we got a roundabout way, right? But Austin Rivers is in basketball just like dad, you know?
He even had him on his team at one point, which
yep.
was questionable.
Yep. But Doc Rivers still possibly, maybe, going to be the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. They're going to have to give up something if they want that to happen, it feels like. But Daryl Morey is certainly, he is praying, it feels like, every day for that to happen.
Next story.
We haven't talked enough about this, and he deserves the applause. The league on Friday, after we got out of here, announced that the 10 players chosen for first and second teams, all defensive teams, the NBA, include the great Jaren Jackson Jr. He made first team. Edged out Bam Adebayo, I believe, by a point to be that fifth player on the all-defensive first team. He is joined by Defensive Player of the Year Marcus Smart of the Boston Celtics, Mikal Bridges, Rudy Gobert, and Giannis Antetokounmpo on that second team. The aforementioned Bam Adebayo, Drew Holiday, Matisse Thybulle, Robert Williams III, and Draymond Green. So a great, great honor for Jaren Jackson, who did get some votes. I know that many had him up for Defensive Player of the Year. Not enough, clearly, mm-hmm. to have him in the running. But many thought he should have been on that level this year. Guy who led the league, obviously, in blocks and has continued, I would say, even with Dylan Brooks at one point being this team's best defender, Jaren Jackson has taken that versatility. And now when you add the durability to it this season, finally a full season of it, led the league in blocks and has become the Grizzlies' defensive anchor. I think going forward, that's become pretty obvious at 6'11", 242. Is he still growing, John? He might come yeah. back next year, still be might be 7'2".
8 foot.
Not done growing. But a fantastic, I think, fantastic honor, obviously, for Jaren Jackson Jr. getting first team. It's just the first step on a path that will eventually lead him, I have no doubt, to Defensive Player of the Year. The question is going to be, how many of them does he win?
Wow. Gobert has what, two? Does he have two? Feels like he has two.
I feel like Gobert's got two. Feel like Giannis has one. Giannis has just one, right?
Yeah, but he could win it every year, honestly. It's like that's the thing about all these guys could win it every single year. Gobert can win it every single year. Giannis can win it every single year. It's like the MVP. You can give that award to Giannis every year. You can give it to LeBron every year. You know? You got to switch it up, I guess, a little bit. But I think the over-under is 1.5. That's what I would set it at, right? And I'd probably take the under. You know, I mean, it's just tough. It's a tough, because there's so many, you know, there's going to be so many great defenders in the NBA, right? I mean, is Jaren going to be, because people view Gobert as like the most dominant, even though Jaren was more dominant defensively this year. I think he gets one. I don't know if he gets two.
We shorted Rudy one. He's got three of them.
Three.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Giannis just the one in 2020.
Gasol had one, right?
Gasol had one, yep.
What was weird is I heard he didn't even make first team that year. First team all defense, he wasn't.
Yeah. Really?
I heard Harrington talking about that this morning
because
the voting was different. I mean, look, for whatever reason. He wasn't even first team all defense.
If Mark can win one, then Jaren certainly will win one. I guess he could win two. Why not? How many multiple-time defensive player of the years have there been? I mean, Gary Payton probably.
You mentioned Rudy Gobert's got 3, 18, 19, and 21. Did Gary win it more than once?
It feels like he should have.
I don't know if the glove won it more than once. I know he was the last, starting guard or something. That's what we saw this year. That's
no,
why
he only
came
went
back
once.
Up. Right, says Marcus Smart was the first one since him.
Dikembe Mutombo won it four times. Oh. Ben Wallace won it four times. Dwight Howard won it three times.
Then you got Gobert with three.
Kawhi twice. 2011-12, Defensive Player of the Year was, believe it or not, Tyson Chandler. How about that?
Wow.
That's kind of random. He was long in the tooth. You know, in 2011-12. Let's see, any other interesting guys. Ron Artest won it in 2003-04. Hakeem won it twice. David Robinson only won it once.
Hmm.
I would have thought he maybe had won it more than that. Michael Jordan won it in
87-88. Oh, yeah.
Kobe never won it?
Mm-mm. No. No.
Interesting. Wasn't he on like a lot of all defense teams though?
I don't know about how a lot, but not as many as Mike, but he was definitely made some all defensive teams.
Well, everything's gonna have to go back to Mike.
I'm just saying he's the GOAT.
Guys can exist in their own, Yeah, he was a nine. Dude, he was a nine-time first teamer.
Nine-time. That is a lot.
Yeah, and he never
tried to short him.
He never won the award. That's kind of nuts to me. How many did Mike make? Did Mike make more than nine, bro? Would you bet it? I would say he probably did not make it nine times.
Yeah, he made more than nine.
He made more than nine?
That's my guess.
All right, let's see. Listen, thank God for Wikipedia, huh? He made it, let's see, nine times.
Damn it.
He made it the same as Kobe. It's interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking at 88 to 93, and he came back 96, 98.
Nobody ever talks about Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant's defense.
Scottie Pippen made it eight times, by the way.
How about that?
He never got an all. He never won the whole thing, though. And at one point, he was considered one of the best.
Yep.
Like we put him on Magic to start those finals, and it was shut down city. It really bothered Magic.
Yeah, he did.
As an older Magic.
Rodman won it twice.
Okay.
They started doing it in 1982, 83.
I guarantee you Jaren's going to win multiple.
Scotties were consecutive, too, by the way.
All of them?
All in a row from 91 to 99.
No, that's quite impressive.
Mm-hmm.
That is quite impressive.
He was considered among the best defenders in the league.
Yep.
And he was I would say certainly best to never win one because I'm pretty sure Scottie never won one.
Because he could do chase down blocks. He was 6'9".
How many people would, if you asked them, though, who has more all-NBA defensive first teams, Kobe or Scottie, how many people would say Kobe? 10%? 5% of people would probably say that? I mean, the idea that Kobe's...
What's the numbers for Scottie you said?
Eight.
Yeah.
Eight, yeah.
And yeah, you would have got me on that one because I was going to tell you Kobe was like six time, nine time. You got me on that one. That's what I thought. I thought Kobe's around six, Mike around nine, Scottie around eight, nine. Kobe nine times, that's impressive.
Yeah, and nobody ever talks. We talk about like the mentality, right? But I mean, even with Jordan, like you don't hear a lot about Jordan's defensive prowess. You don't hear about.
Well, I do. I mean, I do. They called him the Dobermans. Well, him and Scottie were. They would lock him down.
We know you're going to talk about it.
It's Kobe is the one that's not held up there as much. Mike won a defensive player of the year. That helps you get talked about as a defensive player.
Kobe's
the one that's wow. Was the eyebrow raised?
You have like a Michael Jordan Buddha statue in your house.
We all do from that era,
dude.
John.
He did it all, like undefeated 6-0 finals. We'll never see it again.
If you were alive in the 90s, John, like
I was here,
not above the age of five.
LeBron's
like
what 4-6 in the finals.
Yeah, yo,
Steph's like 3-2. Like, come on, 6-0, bro. Like, it's legendary type stuff.
Anyway,
Jaren,
he's got a chance.
On his way to becoming a defensive legend, he's an All-NBA first-team defense, man.
He's
got
a rebound,
to Jaren
though.
Jackson to trip.
He has to rebound, though.
Especially if he's going to be the future center of this team.
Well, look, we didn't say rebounder of the year, right? We said defensive player of the year. We got to start with one thing at a time.
I like the defensive award for him, and I know we're celebrating it, but like, he's got a lot to improve on.
Well, look, he's only, what, 21 years old? And I'm a Jaren.
He's 22. Both of them the same age.
And you would say I'm a Jaren hater, but yeah, I mean I'm pretty pleased with the spec. Like when you go from, I mean the guy was the leading shot blocker in the NBA, right?
Yeah, I think you got to be happy with where he's at, Brad. No, I mean
I know.
That's not saying okay,
John too much.
You want him finished product now and already be there. He's got more to work on clearly, and I'm with you on the rebounding, but. To be first team All NBA at 22, coming off a season which you had a ton to prove, just in terms of staying on the floor,
this is a
good sign, you know. For the and I just saw a Jaren at the end, and maybe it's because, you know, he recognized Golden State didn't have anybody big enough to hold him, but that one that recognized, look, I need to be using these post ups, I need to take advantage of the easy opportunities, and maybe if you've got that Jaren, John, that Jaren that's posting up a little bit more, you've got a Jaren that's now getting a few more offensive rebounds and adding to that total, you know, It can't just all be perimeter-based like
that. Well,
hopefully he's getting that figured out.
I mean, look, you've got that. If you told me in 4 years Jaren will be the leading shot blocker in the NBA, like I'd be like, oh, my God. Like, that's incredible. Like, that is absolutely remarkable that they got this guy at number four. So he's got that side of the ball figured out, right? So now you can focus on offense. You can focus on improving the percentages from three.
Mm-hmm.
You can focus on improving the rebounding. But I like the fact that we can
focus on getting that pick and roll game with Ja.
Absolutely, that too.
Like, that's a big part of it.
But I like knowing what I can count on guys to do. I like that. I don't like mystery. Like, that's part of the reason why I don't like where I'm at with Dylan Brooks. I don't know. Yes, defensively, he's going to give you great effort, right? He's going to make it hard on the other team. But, like, in terms of his offense, I don't know when I reach that bag what I'm going to pull out.
Do you see a guy in him that's willing to fall in line behind Ja?
No.
Because I kind of do.
Do you really?
You see him trumping Ja and saying, give me that. Not when Ja's out there.
You're talking about contract year stuff.
No, I'm with you because I don't think you get him back on your price, right? That should be commensurate with a guy that should be your third or fourth option offensively. And you're not going to get that.
And in his mind, he already gave you a good deal.
Correct.
He's not going to do it again. He's not going to do it again.
Well, he ain't 22. What is he, 25? We've talked about it.
So it's prime earning years for them.
I'm with you on
that.
You
know, I mean, for him in the NBA, that's going to be prime time. It's your third contract. Like, you got to cash the hell in. That's just – so, yeah, I think that'll get figured out. I mean, that's just the way it goes. But, yes, Jaren Jackson certainly has already figured it out on the defensive end, and now you get to work on the other stuff. But, again, I like knowing what I can count on Ja to get me a bucket when I need it. I can count on Jaren to get me a big-time block or a stop when I need it. That's what I like. So you're building off of that.
You can count on Dylan Brooks to hold the other team's number one.
Yes, he can do that. He can do
count
that.
On that.
I can also count
on the team to be better defensively with Dylan Brooks to be on the floor.
Yes.
Again, I'm playing devil's
advocate.
No,
but I can also count on him to take some really stupid shots that could take my team out of the game. And I can count on Desmond Bane to knock those down.
You said it. We know that about Dylan when he's the guy out there that has to take the shots.
Which is what he was in that Jazz series.
We don't necessarily know that of him, right? When it's all four of them out there.
Yeah, Ja had not taken the leap quite yet to be. I mean, it was clearly his team.
It was him and Dylan last year. That was the offense. Because Jaren was coming back.
Yes.
You couldn't hit on him for anything.
That's what I'm saying. The dynamics were just too different. 100%. So, yeah, I mean, again, this is all positive, all good. The trajectory for Jaren. It reminds me a lot of my scout days, where it's just the arrow is pointing upward. But I think
he's Taylor Rooks.
Oh, he is. He's definitely Taylor Rooks. There's no question. Dylan's feeling what I'm feeling right now, just stalling out, stagnant. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And where do you go from here? Kind of a thing.
Cannot believe she was a scout with you.
Well, she wasn't really with me.
But she was right there on your level. Y'all were colleagues.
I'm not sure. I don't even know if that's true. I mean. Was she
like lead recruiting writer for Illinois coverage, and you were assistant or something?
She did like video and stuff and all that.
And you never had that capability.
No, dude. I mean, it was like the guy that ran the thing would like call me cursing me out. Like he would like the grand poobah of the entire company would call me, and he would call me like cursing me out because one morning I didn't have like a post up about Larry Porter getting fired. It was really a baptism into the industry.
But Taylor was on top of hers, though.
I don't know if she was or not.
Well, if she clearly was, she continued to rise. Well,
she did the videos.
Yeah, she did the videos, man. That's different. I was like the boots on the ground type. And I was 21. I was probably out the night before, right? I was probably like just enjoying life, you know. And everybody knew Larry Porter was getting fired. It wasn't like, oh, let's just sit around and wait for this to come down, you know. And then he called me and he cursed me out. He said, I'm this, I'm that. I'm like, damn, man. Like, that's kind of like pretty harsh. But it was my baptism into the industry. And I do appreciate that because it made me work harder. It made me work a lot harder to prove to myself that I could do it. Anyway, that's not what this is about.
Well, you had more to give, apparently.
I did. I certainly, and I still do. And I rent is due every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rent is due every damn day. Anyway, Jaren, first team all defense. Congratulations to him.
Next story.
All right, I want to touch on this because I find it fascinating. You know, Hard Knocks is to me a lot like Saturday Night Live. In that we have heard every joke, right?
Seen every cut.
And now in the NFL, we've seen every, yeah, exactly. Guy gets cut, or the miraculous story, guys, you know, the last guy on the roster gets the news that he's going to make it, you know, or the injury. You know, we've seen all of that. So this offseason is going to be the Lions, right? It's going to be the Detroit Lions.
I can't wait.
I actually think that could be interesting because was so bad.
Stop it.
That it might be funny.
The only reason it is because of the coach.
Yeah, and the coach, right?
That's the reason they did it. And that's the wrong reason to just go for the head coach.
Well, who else are you supposed to do it for?
Campbell going to give you sound. After two episodes, you're going to be tired of the Campbell sound bites. Okay? That's no reason to watch golf.
It's pretty embarrassing.
To watch golf go be the first
stringer
there.
Like the guy that gets cut on this season of Hard Knocks, it's going to be pretty. It's tough to get cut by the Detroit Lions, bro, on national television. You know,
I'm having to deal with the fact that we might be worse than them this year. It's tough.
Ooh, if that's true,
it's tough.
Bears worse than the Lions?
It's a good possibility.
So what do y'all? Yeah, I mean, the storyline of the Chicago Bears is the continued emergence of Darnell Mooney.
It's just how Ryan Pace ran us into the ground. That's what it is. And I was trying to dig out. But to that point, yeah, I'm not watching Lions Hard Knocks.
But that's not
that's not even the news.
That's not even the news. The news is that now Hard Knocks is doing these in season, right?
Yes,
they're trying to do
yes.
it. They're trying to find different ways to get people interested.
Did it for the Colts last year.
Did you watch it?
No.
You did not watch
it. And they melted down the stretch.
They did. Well, this season they are going to do their in season with the Arizona Cardinals, which is pretty juicy because DeAndre Hopkins took some Beaver tranquilizer, and he is going to miss the first six games of the season. And Kyler Murray is sitting out OTAs right now. So there's going to be some good drama. There's going to be some good drama in Arizona. I'm actually excited about this. I like drama, and so I will watch. Oh, it's J.J. Watt, though, isn't it? Blech. I already saw that.
They went out and got Hollywood, too.
Oh, they did. Yeah, they got new receivers in
college,
there.
His former college teammate.
Who else? I wish Chandler Jones was still there because that would be.
What's the running back situation there? It's relatively good, is it not?
I think they picked somebody up, I want to say, man.
To go with the boy from the Steelers that had a good year last year.
James Conner?
Yeah.
I want to say they added somebody that we recognize.
Well, good. So Conner doesn't take as much of the punishment. They need to have
it. Because Chase Edmonds went to Miami.
Okay.
It's pretty thin.
Yeah, it's Eno Benjamin. I guess they really didn't add anybody. That's kind of
crazy. They need to have somebody, so you know, a change of pace back, so it's not all on James Conner, because Lord knows he's got a tendency to get broken up.
Yeah, so it's Kyler Murray, Marquise Hollywood Brown, A.J. Green, Rondale Moore, Zach Ertz. You know, I mean, there's some interesting characters on this group here. Isaiah Simmons is an interesting guy. So, yeah, like, I think this will be great, and especially because, again, the drama.
The problem for them is the Rams and the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
You know? In that division.
Yeah.
That's the problem for them.
Well, we were talking about this earlier. This, you know, we're talking about OTAs and all this stuff. Kyler Murray's not going to be going to – he's not going to be attending OTAs. That's because of a contract dispute, right? But you were asking me, is Aaron Rodgers saying he's not going to OTAs?
Oh, he's not there. He's not going. Yes. And they didn't – now, Aaron Rodgers, in fairness to him, was one of the guys a few years ago that was at the front of players shouldn't have to attend these things if they don't want to. So, again, expecting him to go. Remember, what was he doing last year with the actress? Weren't they all in the Bermuda Triangle, like all shirtless and stuff?
Remember, he remained.
Aaron doesn't want any part of OTAs and never has. And
well,
no, expecting him to be there is probably being a little bit naive. Now, some people are saying, though, that in a year where you just lost Devontae Adams and you're bringing in a Christian Watson, right, the second rounder he ended up being, the wide receiver, as maybe your main threat. It's not just him. Didn't they lose a Valdez-Scantling, too?
Yes.
Like, they lost quite a bit of that receiving core, that you should be there forming new bonds with these new receivers, and especially a Christian Watson who didn't play Division I football last year. He's from North Dakota State or whatever it is.
Look, here's the thing.
And I kind of see some truth to that.
When you – I would be very uncomfortable if I'm one of 32 guys, right, at the most important position in probably all of sports is the quarterback, right? I would feel very uncomfortable if I'm getting outworked by Tom Brady at 45, right? I would feel very uncomfortable with that. And that's what's happening. Tom Brady's not skipping OTAs, right?
I don't know that he ever does.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
He doesn't do offseason if he's playing football. He's throwing to his receivers even when he's not supposed to, it feels like.
Yeah, like.
He'll find some high school or something.
I don't,
he can do that when he got down to Tampa?
Yeah, like, I'm not sure if he is, you know, skipping OTAs or not. He has in the past because he says, you know, Giselle wasn't satisfied with their marriage. So
he needed to get that done. But now it's not as big a deal because he's got the $375 million coming after the retirement.
But the question is, with Tom Brady, yeah. if they had traded away Tom Brady's best weapon and they were bringing in new guys who were younger, would Tom Brady be at OTAs to get reps in with those guys? Yes, he would. Almost certainly. He would almost certainly be there. And Aaron Rodgers gets his fat new contract, which, by the way, in turn drives Devontae Adams to Vegas, which I'm grateful for. But he's like, nah, I got my money. I'll work with this guy when I see him at the mandatory minicamp in June. Like, that's just not a championship mentality to me. And that's why they're not going to win a championship. Like, he's going to, like LeBron's going to be stuck on that, on four, right? Aaron's going to be stuck on one. And that's fine. Like, he won one.
He's going to be fine with it.
And he will, because he made a lot of money, and he has a Super Bowl trophy. But, like, the nuts and the majority of his career, he was not winning championships. He was not even contending for championships. And that's going to be a part of his legacy. Now, I'd trade with Aaron Rodgers today, right now. He can come in here and do this with you. But
didn't he call it off with that actress anyway?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So what's the point? Why not just get in there and
start
developing?
I think just because. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to put the work in.
Well, then Tom and Stafford, who else ahead of him in the NFC? I'm not putting Arizona there.
Jameis.
Because I don't believe in them. I'm not putting Jameis there. It's really only two teams. All the power's in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
But Dallas, if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is in the conversation.
I can't push Dallas ahead of Green Bay.
Garoppolo.
It's those two. And I can't put San Francisco back there, y'all, because of the quarterback situation now with Lance and Garoppolo. And so it's those two that he'll stay behind, and I guess he's fine with that.
And that's the way it's going to be, you know. And that's the way he's chosen
no
to approach
chemistry
it.
But, with these new receivers.
But, yeah, dude, when we got this show.
I can't wait to see.
When we got this show, we came in here a week before we got on the air, and we did mock shows. That was our OTAs. Like, we actually got in.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, we did. Brad, were you doing those? Was that you?
Yes.
Yeah, we came in here, and we just, like, BS'd around for, like, an hour. And we're like, hey, this is what it's going to sound like. This is what, you know, this is how we're going to, like, play off of each other, right? Like,
I thought that was a smart idea.
Yeah, we're putting in the reps, man, putting in the OTA. We didn't have to do that, right? We had a good understanding of each other, but we wanted to, like, put the practice, you know. And now we've been doing the show for, you know, 6 years. And we'll see how much longer it goes. If, you know, I have any more outbursts like that, who knows? But it's been mostly good. And it's because we put the work in, bro. When you put the work in, good things typically follow. And for Aaron, he's not putting the work in. He's not doing it. All right, we will come back. Respect Burgers coming up. Going to do that. And then Rob Fisher's going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.